You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
There we go. Thank you, Greg. Hey, hey, London, England, what's up, baby? Yeah! That's what's up. Hey, as JT said, my name is Eddie Pascal. The fine gentleman across from me is the great producer, Trav. And this, in some way, shape, or form, is Upon Further Review. So, for those of you who are not familiar with us, and I hope some of you are, I'm going to give a quick breakdown of who we are and what we're about. We're not yellers, we're not screamers, although today I'm going to have to talk a little bit louder because all you guys. But, there it is. But what we are is we're a bunch of guys who love the Oakland Raiders and love talking ball. So, we've taken our show from our humble abode at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway, and we've brought it here to the Admiralty in London, where you guys are a little more lubed up than we are typically when we do this normally. But we're gonna have a lot of fun today. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We got a good show. There we go. We got a good show today. We're about to welcome in one of our best friends here in London, England, Will Gavin. But, before we do that, I would be remiss if I didn't remind all of you to do what, Trav? To download the official Raiders app. Be sure to download our free official mobile app from the App Store and on Google Play. It's the top way to be in the know with live stream alerts for every press conference, and we get special app exclusive content on game day. So we paid the bills, Travy. We move on. We welcome in our friend, the host of Talk Sports NFL coverage, Will Gavin. Will, thank you for taking the tube up and hanging out with us this afternoon.
Hey, Eddie, thanks for having me. And Raider Nation, absolutely in fine voice. You'd think it's about 2:30 in the morning instead of in the afternoon.
I know, man.
They're having a whale of a time.
Yeah, they're having a good time. So, we've seen you at Atlanta. We saw you at the Super Bowl. We've seen you everywhere. But now we're in your neck of the woods. The environment here is, honestly, it's blown us away since we've been here. Do you think that the NFL is ready to have a permanent team here in London?
Oh, you're starting off with a big one.
I know, I'm coming at you, dude.
Look, I think the thing is, over the 13 years that we've had regular season games here in London, the growth is absolutely exponential. I can remember starting at TalkSport just like 7 or 8 years ago, and there was one other guy in the office that liked the NFL. Literally, me and Ollie, who you've met, who does our Super Bowl coverage with us, and everyone else really couldn't have cared less. This part, like a couple of weeks ago, I'm talking to our football or our soccer editor, and he says to me, can I get some advice on my fantasy team? I think he means his Premier League fantasy team. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't really know much about it. He goes, no. See, I'm thinking about playing Alvin Kamara this weekend, but with Drew Brees going down and them going to Seattle, I'm really worried about his usage. And I'm just like, sorry, what? Where has this come from? The love of the NFL has just slowly grown into the culture. The number of people getting involved now is just growing and growing and growing. Is it ready for a permanent team? Maybe a couple of years away, but we get a lot closer than we were 5 or 6 years ago.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we spent some time with Watford FC, their digital staff. They came out and they did some stuff with us, and we went and we had dinner with them at night, and I was blown away by, across the board, like you said, how educated they were as NFL fans, how into it they were. They were concerned about injuries, like you said, and everything. And they're so, we were looking at each other like, how do you guys watch the games here? Like, that's crazy. And like you said, it just seems like it's growing and growing and growing. And from last year to this year, it seems exponential at this point.
You got to remember that the ardent NFL fans in this country are people that stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning to see their team in prime time, who are watching it through the week, who are finding any way, like listening to your show, to find that podcast, to find that content. So they tend to be a lot more knowledgeable than maybe the average fan is in the States, I think. And every time players come over, journalists come over, they always say they are blown away by the level of fandom and the level of knowledge. And honestly, the UK fans do us proud everywhere they go.
So let me ask you this then. What does a game day here in London look like for the average NFL fan? Because like you said, you're starting the games at weird times, your weird hours. You know, how does that manifest itself?
So the early games, which would be 10 a.m. your time out on the West Coast, start here at 6 p.m. So it's ideal. You've had your day, you've had your Sunday, you've gone for your roast for lunch maybe, had a few beers with it, maybe you've watched your Premier League and stuff in the afternoon. Then you settle in at 6 o'clock, normally red zone on one screen, your team on another screen, and you just from 6 p.m. till 4 a.m. just wall-to-wall football. Listen to it on TalkSport, watching it on Sky, watching it on your Game Pass app. And I think like people are so ready to immerse themselves. We know it's only 17 weeks of the year if you're not going to the playoffs. So people grab on to every opportunity. And it's so funny, when they have these London games, the biggest question we get from people who are travelling to the games are, can you recommend me a bar to watch the late games? Like, it finishes at 9:30, I want to be in a bar by 10:30, I want to be there till 4 a.m, I want to be watching as much football as I can get my hands on.
So are there bars here that stay open for that late night crowd that want to watch Monday night football, Sunday night football, whatever it is?
Not far from here, over in Leicester Square, there's a couple of bars up there which stay open all the way through the late games, right there until 4, 5 in the morning. So if people want to, after Tottenham, come into Central, watch those games all the way to the end. Sunday night football this week is a barnstormer, Colts, Chiefs. Yeah. So, you know, big implications for you guys in the West, potentially. They can do that. They can come in, they can watch it. And I tell you, it won't be 2 or 3 stragglers at the end of the night. It'll be 400 or 500 people packed into that bar who will stay till the very end. They might be a bit worse for wear, but they will stay to the death.
They're diehards. So let me ask you this. Obviously, we're here for tomorrow's game at Tottenham Stadium, Raiders-Bears. You were at practice earlier this week. Let me put your analyst hat on for a second. When you look at this game, prime time at Tottenham tomorrow night, where is this game going to be won for either the Raiders or the Bears?
It's all about the trenches.
Yeah.
I think the Bears, well, we've seen how good their defense is, and the people of Oakland know how good Khalil Mack is. So if your big mauling offensive line that the Raiders have got, I think the tackles have taken a big step up this season. Colton Miller has looked much better than he was last year. And I think the offensive line in general, it's a bunch of big guys who, if they can win that battle in there in the trenches and keep Derek Carr clean, you've got Trevor Davis, who looks like he's going to have a bigger role this week. So there are options there for him. I think if Josh Jacobs can have a decent game and if Carr can spread the ball around a bit and they can keep him clean, then the Raiders have got a chance. You don't have to put a lot of points up on this Bears team. The offense may look different with Chase Daniel in there, but I don't think if you score 20-plus points, this is a game you should win. I think it's going to be low-scoring, old-school, physical football.
It's going to be John Gruden football.
Yeah,
it is going to be John Gruden football tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think, if the Raiders are going to win games this season, that's how they're going to win them. They're going to win them by being physical, by beating teams up. I think your front seven's got a lot of potential as well. So there's a lot to like about this Raiders team, even though they still feel like a work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up Colton Miller and Trent Brown, because this offensive line almost completely rebuilt from a year ago. But it's safe to say they're a lot better. And we've been talking a lot this week where, hey, these are the types of games where Colton and Trent and Big Rod Hudson, they're going to earn their paychecks. Because we talked so much about Khalil, and for good reason, too. But that defensive front end as a whole is nasty. And they have a bunch of guys they can move around, and Colton and Trent are going to be under duress. Josh Jacobs and the rest of the backs are going to have to do a lot of blocking as well. So, I mean, this Bears defense, like you said, is no joke.
And look, Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, said it earlier this week. He was asked, how are you game planning for Khalil Mack and for Leonard Floyd and for, you know, Akeem Hicks if he plays and Eddie Goldman? Like, they have got a stacked line on that defensive side. And he said, you know, he pointed out that, well, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller didn't do very much against us. We game-planned well for them. There's a comparative level of talent with this Bears defense. They've got off to a hotter start than the Broncos have. But you saw how well they handled that, so maybe they're going to be able to handle business come Sunday as well.
Yeah, I hope so. And I really think this is one of those games. This is going to be a big Josh Jacobs game. It has to be a big Josh Jacobs. And you look at the first quarter of the season, and he's been outstanding. There's not much you could ask him to do that he hasn't done so far. But like you said earlier, in order for the Raiders to win this game, to win games going forward, they got to control the clock, they got to win the line of scrimmage battle, and they got to get Josh Jacobs rolling. You look at last week's game in Indianapolis, almost 200 yards rushing for the Raiders, almost 200 yards throwing the ball too. So that balance is kind of that sweet spot. So if Josh Jacobs get rolling, if DeAndre Washington, if Jalen, they can take advantage of their touches and they can control the clock. I mean, this Bears defense is nasty. I don't think there's any way to kind of parse that. But if they can control the clock, I kind of like the Raiders' chances on Sunday.
I think the other thing I like about this game this weekend, for both teams really, is that the rookies they brought in this year, they're Clemson guys, they're Alabama guys, they're used to playing in big games, in national championships, in front of raucous crowds. As much as there will be a big Raiders support, you can hear it down there today, yeah, singing and getting involved and having their own, you know, black hole here in London. The Bears are a popular franchise here too. And so it's going to be loud when both teams are on the field. and how the rookies deal with that, how Chase Daniels deals with that. I know he's a veteran, but he's only got, what, 6 or 7 actual starts in the league. So seeing how he deals with the big occasion, with the big atmosphere, could also have a big play in this. The guys went to that the game on Tuesday night, the Tottenham Bayern Munich game. Yeah. They heard how loud that stadium can get. Now imagine that on 3rd and short or 4th and short if you're going for it, with the whole stadium just a cacophony of noise. I think it will be similar to the kind of thing you get maybe in Seattle or with the Black Hole, somewhere like that, where it's contained by the roof, and that's going to be another factor that I think people maybe aren't thinking about.
100%, but I think that, believe it or not, the Raiders' road trip has kind of helped prepare them for this, right? We've been on the road for 2 weeks already. This is week 3, and I think we have, what, 2 or 3 more after this. So they're getting used to the noise, getting used to playing in a hostile environment is nothing new to this team in 2019. Now, do we anticipate it being like it was last week in Indianapolis or in Minnesota the week previous? Probably not, but there's going to be a lot of fans, like you said, of the Raiders, but a lot of Bears fans too. So that place is going to be loud. That place is going to be kicking. But like you said, I think this team is built to kind of handle that right now.
There are more and more teams making the decision to come later in the week, to come Thursday, to come Friday, when they travel out for these London games. The Raiders did it last year. And John Gruden said in his first press conference on Wednesday, I made a mistake last year. We weren't ready. We needed more time to get acclimatized. The team coming out on Monday, being, you know, acclimatized to the jet lag and the feel by the time you've already got to Wednesday, Thursday, that potentially gives them another edge. I was there at Bears practice yesterday, and you're chatting to these guys, and at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, when in theory they should be adjusted, they should be fine, they're coming off practice, they're groggy, they're talking about not sleeping the night before. It's another place where the Raiders could find a little edge, get off to a quick start like they have done on offense. Those scripted plays work well, and you get off to a quick start. I don't know, the Bears could find themselves tied and in a bit of a hole.
And it's a bit of another theme that we've talked about a lot this week is starting fast. You look at the 2 Raiders wins, they put up points on both possessions. They put the defense under pressure from jump. And that's bode very well for them in the past couple, you know, their past couple games. And as you said, coming against a Bears defense that's really, really good, but has been in London for, what, 36 hours at this point now? If you can take advantage of whatever they're going to give you, because that defense is going to tighten up as the night goes on. And if you can put them under pressure and make Chase Daniel beat you, this is no shot at Chase Daniel, but if you're going to have the game in his hands, you're going to kind of like where you are if you're John Gruden and the Raiders.
I was in Chicago for opening night this year, for the opening Thursday night game against the Packers. And for as much as I think Matt Nagy might be a really good offensive mind, he leans way too much on the pass when they go behind. That was a tight game. That was never more than a score between those two teams. And yet the run-pass balance was something like 80-85% to pass. Because when they go behind, they just throw and throw and throw and throw. I think you want that. I actually think even though Chase Daniels feels like a more accurate quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky, you want to force them to try and make those plays. You don't want them doing the same thing we're talking about with the Raiders, where they can grind it, where they can run the ball. If you can force that balance off for them, they become more predictable. The defense can react to that. So again, that quick start is so massive.
It is. And these guys always give me a hard time because I always preach every week the importance of making the opposing offense one-dimensional, right? So if you take away the run or you take away the pass, you make a decision of what you consciously want to take away. And it completely changes the outlook for an offense, whether it's the Bears, the Colts, pick a team in the NFL. Because players in the NFL are so good. Coaches are so well-prepared that they have a plan A, a plan B, all the way down to a plan Z. But if you can take away half of what they want to do, if you can take away a team's identity and who they really want to be and hang their hat on, you got to like your shots come game day. You have to.
And look, the Raiders, traditionally, as these fans here will know, as you know, you're an us versus them team. You're the Outlaws. You're the Pirates. So as much as, you know, the NFL world on the outside has been sitting back and debating Vontaze Burfict all week and talking about, you know, whether or not he should be allowed back in the league in the future and all that stuff, what you've seen from the team at practice this week is defiance, is that Gruden is using that as a way of uniting them, of saying, they're putting us in a hole. They're making it more difficult for us. We need to prove to them we can still beat them when it's difficult for us. And I think when you're the underdog, which I think the Raiders will be going into Sunday, that mentality can make a big, big difference.
And that's such a Raider mentality,
exactly,
too, right? It is
exactly. The
quintessential Raider mentality. So like you said, they're doing everything to, you know, play against you. You've been on the road for 3 weeks. They've taken away one of your best defensive players. They're taking you out of your comfort zone. That can really galvanize a group. And Coach Gruden literally said that as much this week. He goes, look, if we can harness that energy, if we can put it all together, he goes, it can be a powerful thing, no doubt about it.
And look, the Raiders are popular here in Britain because of that mentality, because they're the underdog, because it's a bit punk rock, because, I mean, you're going to have some legends coming through here who are going to be telling some stories. I think about people like George Atkinson and Jim Plunkett, who were around that team when they were the classic kind of Raiders that we think of, the Madden Raiders, where guys were allowed to be guys and all of that. And I think that's one of the things that really ingratiates themselves with British crowds. It's one of the reasons that they're really loved here, the kind of Misfits thing. And again, I just think it's another reason the British fans could get behind them come Sunday.
Absolutely. Will, we appreciate your time, but I want to ask you a question. I was watching TV this morning before I was getting ready to come here, and I was watching one of the morning programs, and they posed a really interesting question that I'm curious on your take of. They said, what would you rather have, your country win the World Cup or your club win the Champions League?
Now, I would say my country winning the World Cup, purely because my football team, my soccer team, is Reading. The chance of them winning the Champions League, I mean, it would be an amazing story, but we're talking about completely implausible, and it's only a small club, it's not a big fan base. England winning the World Cup in a country which at the moment is a little bit divided, you know, we are in a political atmosphere at the moment which doesn't necessarily kind of bring people together. You saw it when we got to the semi-finals of the last tournament. Football brought people together in the same way American football can with the Super Bowl. I think England winning the World Cup would be good for the whole country. So I hate to give a cerebral answer to that. It should have been, no, I'm all for, like, you know, Reading should be winning the Champions League. But yeah, England winning the World Cup for me would be.
But part of you would be pretty fired up if your club won the Champions League,
yeah,
right?
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, don't get me wrong. The idea of the blue and white hoops being on that big stage, seen by billions worldwide, is pretty ridiculous, but yeah, I'm going World Cup all the way.
Awesome. Well, hey, Will, we appreciate you immensely for hopping on the tube, coming down and hanging out with us. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and hopefully we catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Eddie. Thanks for having me on.
And our deepest, sincerest, humblest thanks to our guest, Will Gavin, today. Big shout out to him. Make sure you check him out. But we're going to finish the show, as we always do. It's called Victory Formation. It is a segment that, as of yet, does not have a sponsor, I believe. It's been about 2 years. No sponsor yet, but we're open to anything. So it's me, and we welcome in our great senior esports correspondent, junior draft analyst, and resident Southern California expert, Kyle Martin. Say hello.
Happy to be here.
Hey, there we go. Some love for Kyle. Hey! And our social czar, Matt Walks.
Kyle, I think you're bigger here than you are in America.
There was not as good reception for you as there was for him.
Oh, that's
Kyle,
right.
Stand up. Stand up. Show the people what they want. Hey, there he is!
No one of importance in America, a little bit of importance.
You're big here. You're going to have to tell Vito, you are big in Europe. You
are big. Broadening the brand, man.
Absolutely. Speaking of Europe, we've been here for what, 6 days now? Seven days?
Yeah, it's been about a week.
Biggest London, or I guess England in general, takeaway from both you gentlemen?
It has to be the Tottenham match, the Champions League match we went to on Tuesday. Not the outcome that Tottenham supporters probably would have liked. But
are they booing you? I think they're turning on you.
They're turning on you. It started out so positive, but that was a great experience, man.
All your goodwill straight out the window now.
It is what it is. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything that compares to a European soccer match, or European football match, I should say.
Nothing, not even close. I mean, we went, what time did we get there? We got there about an hour before kickoff, went, spent some time with the supporters, and then as we walked in, we kind of had that collective experience where you turn the corner, and then the stadium opens up in front of you, and it was just like a mind-blowing.
Had that new stadium smell.
Yeah, oh yeah, it did. It was fun. Woxy, what did you enjoy the most during our time here?
I have fallen in love with cheese and onion crisps. I will be smuggling as many back to America as I can fit in my bag.
Don't tell security, Bob.
I will not tell customs, but I am obsessed with them. I've had 3 bags today. I can't stop. I have an addiction, Eddie.
You're
cheese
sick.
And onion crisps.
You're sick. We've been spoiled. We've been up at the Grove the past week, and we have been so spoiled in terms of eating everything. We've had, what, lobster, filet mignon.
You're going to sound spoiled, Eddie. You're going to make it sound a little...
I know, but one of the big culinary things that I've experienced this week...
That's a good word for it, experience.
Experience. Big goat cheese guy.
Goat cheese?
Goat cheese.
I don't think there's been one meal that I haven't seen you go back to the charcuterie board.
What I do... with my own meals and things.
That's
none of your business.
That's fair.
Why don't you keep your eye on your own plate while you eat your four pieces of chicken and whatever it is?
I got to say, the other day, Eddie and I had liver for the first time.
We did.
What did you think?
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Right.
It was very confusing to my palate.
It's kind of tough, right?
It was tough. It felt like a wallet that had been left outside for a time, and then someone had like seasoned very mildly.
Yeah.
This might be a surprise to both of you, but I have yet to eat fish and chips since we've been out here. I have had chips, but I haven't had fish and chips.
They're turning on me again. Back to
you
back.
You should have taken your bow to the crowd and left. That's what you should have done. Be like,
and on a high note.
Oh, man. You haven't had any, though?
I haven't. Yeah, I wish I would. I'm sure I'll need to today. But you guys had a sausage roll at the Tottenham match the other day, did you not?
That's what I thought you were going to bring up earlier with the goat cheese.
No. Well, if you could put some goat cheese on a sausage roll, sign me up. But, no, the sausage rolls, are they like the equivalent of like a stadium food here?
Yeah. It was like a late night snack. It was just a sausage baked in a bun.
No, I think it was more than that. Don't downplay it.
It looked shredded, though. It didn't look like a whole like sausage.
It was like the Jimmy Dean in America, kind of chunked up.
The beauty was in its simplicity.
Yeah, but it was like it had like a flaky crust. It wasn't just like some meat thrown in a casing. I don't want you to disrespect the good people at Tottenham's Hotspur Stadium who probably spent hours making those for you.
Yeah.
What a beautiful stadium we'll be playing at, though.
Oh,
it's incredible.
You know, I was thinking about this on our drive-in, where we got to watch a game from literally the last row. We were in the final row. And then we'll get to watch a game from the press box, and we'll be on the field. It'll be two very different experiences, though.
Absolutely. And I believe an open press box, right, like you said?
That I don't know. Do you know, Ox?
Producer I don't know. Trav, I cannot confirm.
He's shaking his head. No, he doesn't know.
Producer Trav.
We'll find out tomorrow, I guess. And we have to do road reviews as well. We were slacking in Indianapolis. We dropped the ball a little bit, but we're back. And your audience needs that. They need it. They need that tent.
I think you're going to confuse the fans here, because let me explain what road reviews is, because I don't even know if you know what road reviews is.
It's like a loose term that I'm aware of when you guys talk about it, but I don't really know the extent of the production value.
Honestly, road reviews is just when Eddie and I are in a new city, he reviews the local fare on my personal Instagram story.
Yes.
At Matt Walks.
Yeah, that's not what we're here for. It's a good tent, though.
Also seeking a sponsor for that piece of content as well.
So if anyone
in the crowd is tickled by what they hear today, or
I'm repping my sponsorship hoodie today.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, not all of us can be sponsored like you, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
Unfortunately,
not everybody's a senior esports correspondent.
That's true.
Though.
Is esports big in England?
I mean, it's a global phenomenon.
Producer
I'm getting Trav. A lot of stares.
Hey, Raider Nation, is esports big in the UK? Yeah, we got a couple
okay,
of holes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Talk to your constituency, Kyle.
Yeah,
talk to them.
Yeah. You've won them back.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely inching my way.
This has been a very ebbing and flowing relationship with Kyle and the fans. He started so high, they immediately turned on him. Within 30 seconds, they turned on you, and you brought him back up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's a love-hate relationship. I'm here to love, though. Spread love.
Wax, let me ask you this. One of the biggest takeaways we've had since we've been here, something that I personally was looking forward to, is turning you into a big football.
Oh, I'm a
big
guy. Big football guy now.
Because you're obviously a huge baseball guy.
Yeah.
The biggest baseball guy I've ever met. But now we're at the Champions League game on Tuesday.
Yep.
We're going to leave here, go to another game this afternoon.
Do we have any West Ham supporters
in the
house?
Yes, West Ham in the house.
West Ham?
No. Are we in the wrong neighborhood?
Oh, they're getting the boos are raining
Crystal Palace?
Crystal Palace?
Any Crystal Palace supporters?
Neighborhood.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I mean, it's amazing what 90 minutes and about four pints will do.
I think four is
conservative.
This is a family program, so I said we'll call it four.
We are in a pub, though.
To turn me into a soccer fan, because by the time I left the stadium, I had two scarves wrapped around my neck.
Two of them.
And
you were singing the songs.
Yep.
What else were you doing? You had befriended a Tottenham fan.
I learned all the chants and songs.
You were singing, yeah. Did you end up going to his show the other night?
No. No, I did not.
So, quick backstory. Wax met this very nice man at the pub we were hanging out.
Shout out to Stu.
And Stu invited him. Stu is a production guy on a play, correct?
Yeah, the Marvel play. In
it's like a live-action Marvel Cinematic Universe play.
Which is right
that takes
up your guys' wheelhouse. Which is right in the crosshairs of what you guys like.
I don't know. I think the demo is like the 10 to 12 crowd.
Well, maybe still.
We're kids at heart, though. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a little bummed you didn't go, though.
What's that?
I said I'm a little bummed you didn't go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, had to get our rest. We had a big day today. You know, clearly we're here now. Had to make sure that we were in our good spirits.
Walks, are you going to get another scarf today?
Oh, absolutely. I might get two.
You're going to get two?
Yeah.
So you're gonna come back to the United States with four scarves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect that immensely.
I'm going to wear them all at once, like Lenny Kravitz.
And you're going to make so many people upset.
Yeah.
And then your teams will never lose.
Exactly.
You'll just be undefeated.
A Heinz 57 of football supporters.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we get into your game, Walks, because yes. I know you've brought numerous whatevers to the table, I want to share with you guys, and I don't know if I told you this story. Kyle, I think you were there. When we were at the meal room the other day, we were wrapping up dinner, and the waitress goes, "Sir, would you like some tea?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great, wonderful." And I said, "What would you recommend?" And she just stone-faced looked at me, and she said, "Sir, selecting tea is a very, very personal decision." And I just looked and I was like, well, I guess I don't know what I'm getting then.
It got intimate for you real fast. What did you end up ordering?
I went with the mint tea because it was
tea?
The one that was closest to me on the menu.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, that'll do. That's the one. That's the one.
You have to take like a Myers-Briggs personality test to figure out which tea needs to be perfectly tailored for you.
I know. I wonder if there's a stereotype to each of them.
Probably.
Ask your friends, what would you drink?
Raider Nation, I don't seem like they're engaged with this.
No.
With the tea question,
the
perhaps.
The tea question.
Let's get a Raiders
Shout
chant, though.
Crusader Raiders there in the chant. Front.
There they are.
Crusader Raiders in the house.
I see
Crusader Raiders.
First personal friend of our associate, Lauren. Excellent. All right, Woxie.
I know you
came with a game.
Yes.
You always come with something.
Yes.
What do you got for
me? So fans of the program know I make very sporadic appearances. But when I drop in, I always like to bring a game to play with you two.
But you,
usually simple, usually silly, but a game nonetheless.
But
right?
you're a featured guest, though. You don't just come once every 9 months or so.
I'm like a cameo guy. It's always like, and Matt Walks at the end.
Yes, yes.
So the game I've brought, and it does require some audience participation. The game I brought is called, Is This a British Athlete or a Name I Just Made Up?
Excellent.
Okay, all right.
It seems like it's pretty simple in its rules.
Again, the beauty is in its simplicity.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you the name of a human, and you guys tell me whether it's a real English athlete.
Okay.
Or a name I made up on the ride here.
Are these lower tier athletes or like big, big time British athletes?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I think the crowd might be able to help us
out. Did you just
say
like a quick Wikipedia?
Yeah. Well, some of them I know.
Okay.
Others I'm unfamiliar with.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Let's get it going.
All right. So we're going to start out with something simple, okay?
All right.
Eddie. So it'll go Eddie, then Kyle, and then the crowd, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Can we get crowd support if I don't know the answer? Like, can they? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Who's?
Yeah.
This is a very free-flowing program. There's very little rules that we've established on this piece of audio content.
Exactly. Okay. First up. I don't want you looking at my screen and cheating here.
All right. I'll try not to.
Okay. First up. Tom Cleverley. Is he real? Is he fake?
What's his last name? Cleverley?
Cleverley.
Are you writing it out to
Tom Cleverley,
helps me,
Eddie.
Helps me look at, you know.
Whatever helps
process.
You process.
My
yeah.
process.
Is he a real person? Or someone I made up on the drive here?
I'm going to say he's real. Tom seems real.
Kyle?
I'm going to say he's not.
You're going to say he's not real?
I'm going to say he's not real.
Eddie? Crowd, is Tom Cleverley a real or a fake person?
Oh, they say he's fake. They say he's a fake person.
Tom Cleverley is the starting midfielder for Watford presently.
Oh, wow, there
Big
you go.
Big Watford guy.
Big Watford
for one.
Guy.
Plus one.
All right, next up. Sam Wavy Graves.
Oh, my goodness.
Is he real or is he made up? Sam Wavy Graves.
I'm going to go no. Sam Wavy Graves?
Wavy scene. I'm going to go because it's so absurd. Wavy's real. I'm going to add that to my alias list.
Does anyone have any thoughts on Sam Wavy Graves? Real or fake? I see fake, fake. You are correct. Sam Wavy Graves, not real.
I applaud your creativity, though.
Thank you.
That's a great name.
they're turning on the game quickly.
They are.
All right. Okay. How about Bartleby Hendricks?
Real.
Real.
Fake.
Oh. Yikes.
Stiggy Hodgson?
One more.
Stiggy Hodgson.
I'm going to say real because I want him to be real.
I'll agree with that.
He's a golfer. He's real.
Excellent.
I'm surprised Andy Murray hasn't made this list yet. You're a big tennis guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can find any good tennis players that you guys would have had interesting names.
Sure. Sure.
All right, last one. Gary Booster O'Halloran.
Fake. Fake name.
Oh, that'll get a confirmed yes from me.
No, he's fake.
He's fake. Oh,
he's fake. Gary Booster.
I love O'Halloran. How you've added the nicknames, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just adds to a level of realism, I thought.
Well, because I spent Friday night watching some British television in my room, and I was watching this television show. It's called The Chase, or Beat the Chase, something like that. And I was curious, and I was telling Trav, I was immensely entertained by it because it's like a fun trivia game, but I didn't know any of the questions because it's all like British geography.
British pop culture,
yeah, and stuff like that. Yeah. And as our resident trivia guy, how do you think you would fare?
Not well.
No?
I've thought a lot about this. I don't think I would be of any help at a pub quiz here because it's all obscure British pop culture.
I feel like you pride yourself, though, on having a vast knowledge of world topics, not just in our own backyard.
And I like British music and British television stuff, but pub quiz questions are so obscure that...
Like, there was one question. It was about a river that was the natural border for some sort of territory or province or something like that. And all four of the options sounded almost identical. And I was just like, oh, boy.
Well, American geography is not your strong suit, so I can't imagine how you'd fare at British geography.
No, I was trying to explain to someone the other day that your village in Montana, where it was located...
It's not a village. It's a city, but thank you.
Yeah, it's a village.
It's 100,000 people.
I don't know about that. Ask if there's any people from Montana in the house.
There's nobody from Montana.
I do wonder.
There's no chance.
Who traveled the furthest way to be here?
Yeah, it's actually.
That's
great
what
question.
I want to know.
Probably a lot of hard ones. Anyways, I was trying to explain where Montana was in relation to California, and I got about two states over, and I just failed. I said, then it's kind of up like that.
Yeah, it's in between Idaho and the Dakotas. Oh, so I don't know who's cooking fish and chips, but something smells amazing up here.
They ordered it just for me, because clearly I haven't had it, so I'm ready for some fish and chips.
Dude, I got it too. I just got it. I really hope someone did order you some, and then you can break bread with them.
If they brought fish and chips up here right now, I'd eat them.
You like fish, right?
Oh, I love fish. Yeah.
I know it's not Japanese marinated swordfish, but...
That's if I'm getting picky, but I love all seafood.
That's all right. Gentlemen, we have had so much fun here this week, but unfortunately, I feel like we have to get some work stuff in, so... Tomorrow night, we're going down to business, Bears, Raiders. And I ask you guys this question all the time. It's typically how we wrap up the show. The Raiders will win tomorrow night if KMM?
Keep Derek Carr upright and Khalil Mack away from him.
But what is that? What is that?
I know, but fortify the offensive line. You got to make sure the offensive line holds their ground. Establish a run game, too. We got to power Josh Jacobs.
Okay,
I know, I'm stealing all of them. I'm stealing all of them. I apologize.
All I wanted was
mine
one.
Is the Raiders will win if Josh Jacobs rushes for over 100 yards tomorrow.
Which mine, I think is possible.
Mine was actually very close to yours. I think the Raiders will win if we, as a team, can match what we did last week in Indy, which is 188. If we can match our output on the ground that we did last week, I like our chances. You're going to control the clock. You're not going to give Chase Daniel and that offense a lot of chance to do their thing. You're going to wear down that Bears defensive line.
We were at about a 50% clip on third down last week, too. If we can achieve something similar to that, keep the chains moving, field position won't matter quite as much. And if Josh Jacobs gets rolling...
I think we got to get Josh Jacobs factored in as a pass catcher, too. I think we got to get him out of the backfield.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
Yeah, it's a little... Either whether it's a quick screen or just a little out in the flat, I think... He can offer so much. He's a dynamic playmaker.
You know what else I'd like to see, too? Some pressure on the quarterback. It's been 2 weeks without a sack, and I know that sacks are not the lifeblood of a defensive line. They're not a perfect way to encapsulate the health of an defensive line. But let's get some pressure on the quarterback. Max Crosby balled out last week in Indy. See if he can carry that momentum. Still TBD in Cleveland Furrow as he deals with a concussion. Benson back in the mix. Like, we need to figure out a way to generate a pass rush and to make life difficult for the Bears.
I wonder if Paul Gunther is going to get creative too with LaMarcus Joyner, or just what he's got prepared. Maybe some safety blitzes.
Some LJ blitzes?
Yeah, I'm not sure. LJ, I mean, he's another versatile guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Gruden has talked about it endlessly, so.
Especially with Chase Daniel under center for Chicago, if they can pressure him into making some poor decisions, get creative with LaMarcus Joyner. I mean, what do we always say about turnovers? What have we always heard? They come in bunches. And so if we can continue some momentum from last week's interception, you never know.
No, I know. And last week when Eric Harris had that pick six, it was so hard for me to keep my arms down and not throw my hands up in the air, because you're happy for a guy who's worked his butt off to get here, and he has a game-changing play right like that in the fourth quarter. It's awesome to see. We need more plays like that.
E. Harris, man. I was going to ask you, too, as our kind of resident NFL statistician fellow, what's the deal on Chase Daniel? What does he do well? What is he? Who is he as a player?
Well, I think Tyre Whitehead said it best earlier in his press conference this week, saying that he's very similar to Mitchell Trubisky. He likes those short kind of dump-off passes, and they have three talented backs in Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, and Mike Davis. So I think they're going to try and get their running game going, too, much like we will. But Chase Daniel, I don't feel like there's a major discrepancy between he and Mitchell Trubisky, whether you guys agree or not, but that's just from my
own. I do, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So the last thing before we get out of here, are we going to find a place that's going to show the Oregon game tonight? Is there a place in London that's going to show Oregon and Cal?
I don't know. I mean, the Oregon game will kick off at 3 in the morning here. Are any bars open at 3 in the morning here in London?
I don't know. That's a
question. I'm hopeful, but we got to be ready for tomorrow.
That might be one for the hotel room. I might throw. Do we get ESPN out here? I don't even know if we get ESPN.
Yeah, we do.
I think so.
Right? I'm taking a shot in the dark. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to mislead you.
But whatever. We'll have a good time. Well, gentlemen, they somehow, some way, let us do a live show in London, England.
Yeah.
We did it.
I think it went well. Can we get one more Raiders chant?
Yeah, get the. Yeah,
can we get a Raiders chant
going?
Raiders.
There it is. Get one more. One more.
Raiders.
You won them back, Kyle. You won them back. Thank you for all of us for coming to hang out with us. We have had so much fun. Probably way too much fun for our own good. We'd like to thank our guest, Will Gavin, for swinging by, spending the afternoon with us. So for Eddie Pascal, Matt Walks, the great Kyle Martin Media, producer Trav, engineer Jim on the ones and twos, Brad, Vito, and our friend Lauren, this has been a lot of fun, and we'll catch you guys next time we make it abroad for a Upon Further Review.
Love you, Marcus.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.